Okay, I've got 1:20. We'll reconvene in open session, noting that there is a quorum of the court present. Picking up with item number 16 on the agenda, which is to consider an interlocal agreement with Falls County for the housing of inmates. I believe that agreement went out in your packet. And as of note, it is $76 per day per inmate. And they have also allocated it as part of transportation and offsite security, of hourly fee of $25 an hour, which is much better than some of the counties. Some of the counties won't even provide that for us if there's, an inmate that needs to go to the hospital or something like that. So, and looking through it, it seems pretty much in line with all of the other agreements that we have signed historically. I don't see any issues with it, but
Yeah,
Mr.
you're absolutely correct. This is pretty straightforward. I did run it by Mr. Belt. There was a change he wanted made. That change has been made. Basically, they had another county name in where you would sign, but everything else was correct. So we changed all of that. The fee is under where we budget by a substantial
Yeah.
amount. And it's not really much further than Johnson County is right now. So I don't know how many beds we're going to have with these folks. The nice thing that I like about this contract is that we're not bound to a mandatory number. So if I want to hold five, I can. If I want to hold 10, I can. I don't pay for a certain amount up front.
Yeah, the price is good.
Perfect.
So I'll make a motion. We approve the interlocal agreement with Falls County for the housing of inmates.
Thank you.
Motion to approve the agreement from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 16? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 17 on the agenda is to consider awarding a bid for lease of real property located at 712 Bridge Street. This is a bid packet that we had published a little over a month ago, I believe, 3 weeks, a month ago. We did receive one proposal. That proposal, I do believe, went out in your packet. It specifies, let me get to it. Sorry about that.
$1,000 a month.
Yep, $1,000 a month.
Really?
Lease is 5 months.
It's a, well, approximate lease area is an 80 foot by 120 foot.
Yes, sir.
So it's a portion of the 1 acre property. The term of the lease is 5 months. The amount on a monthly basis is $1,000. And payment is due on the 14th day of each month here going forward.
Sir.
Any questions concerning that portion or that offer to lease property from the county?
Of course, I have, but I'm not. Brandon, I guess, did he draw this up or did
Brandon draw it up?
Okay, I'm good.
Yeah, hey.
I make a motion that we accept the bid for lease of real property located at 1712 Ridge Street.
Second.
We've got a motion to approve the lease agreement from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 17? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 18, consider awarding bid for the RFP number 26-01, fully insured level funded medical benefits. That's the fancy term of saying the health insurance, employee health insurance program for Coryell County to be considered or to be factored into the budget for FY 26, 27, 27. 27.
Judge, I got this Friday and I'm still going through it. I did not want to be an action on the. So I haven't finished grading mine. But,
okay.
So I don't know if you have.
I didn't get a grading sheet.
Yeah.
There was no grading sheet that was assigned to it. This is
just
to consider proposals.
There won't be any grading sheets on grading.
No.
Okay. We just
so far, it's pretty, pretty clear cut to me.
What I'm,
unfortunately, but
yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Well, there's one proposal that would literally just plug right into our budget from last year. Actually, $8 less per person.
You look into Baylor Scott and White.
Yeah, Scott and White Premier Plan is, you know, I think it was $8 less for the individual. I think it was a little more for the family. I mean, so far, that's the one that stands out. And I never could really figure out what the difference between their Premier and their Plus plan. I mean, they look exactly the same. I mean,
the other one, which is $9,300, was almost $410,000 more.
Our current provider, it's
a million.
It's in the millions more.
A million more. Yeah.
It's a 36 point something percent increase.
Yeah.
Prescription tools is like $400
increase.
Yeah. But it's certainly disappointing because it is a great. Great plans. Well, no, it's not because it's literally a well, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Just last year, our rate was 888 per employee, and this one's at 880.46. But obviously, it's not nearly as feature rich. I mean, the employees will end up paying
a whole lot
more if and when they go.
Sure, they're putting in some sort of rebate for this year. I don't know if that's a thing that they do this year.
I saw that. The transmission was $30,000. So I don't know if we've ever taken that $80,000 credit. We have not.
Yeah, it was, you had the way the treasurer was explaining it comes in on the back side.
They're getting it as a credit instead of a charge on this.
I'd say we just deduct it from the next bill.
Yeah.
That's how I used to handle credits.
Having them listed in alarm books that we're not.
Yeah. I don't know how much you guys did. Did you see a difference between the Baylor Scott & White Plus HMO and the Baylor Scott & White Premier?
I didn't.
I tried.
I couldn't read most of their stuff.
Typically, the Plus plan and the Premier plan with Scott & White has always been your doctors that you choose.
Yeah, are in network out, but it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Well, they have in network, out of network, and then they have a network preferred.
Right, but it didn't on theirs. It showed
separate a mile.
Yeah, it didn't break out.
I'm gonna say,
I couldn't find where it broke down.
It's almost like they're going,
yeah,
go for the Premier.
Right.
Yeah,
it does.
But I just couldn't.
And some of that also has to do with the co-pays too.
Nope. Co-pay is the same.
They're the same.
Both sides.
I'm telling you.
I did too. One for one, trying to find out what the difference in
I thought that was a mistake.
$110.
Yeah.
It probably is.
They're both zero co-insurance. They're both 03 for individual and max out of pocket. They're both 30-30 for EP and specialist.
And it costs the same no matter which plan you choose?
A little bit. Drugs are exactly the same. I'm trying to find what's the catch here, wasn't it? And on the Baylor BSW Premier, our employee styles will go up a little more than it was last year. So our individual will go down $8. Employee spouse will go up a little bit.
Yeah.
The employee and children will go up. And the employee family will actually go down.
Yeah.
But it really kind of offsets.
Yeah. Yeah, but he takes her down. Thank you.
And of course, employee children being one of the categories that we have.
Right.
Just my glance through of it, the key to this is that out of network is not covered.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're going to Baylor Scott and White provider, or you're paying.
Except in an emergency.
Right.
It's the same $500 for emergency room and $500 for ambulance. They only have about 1,000 plans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Blue Cross Blue Shield directly from them, the Blue Essentials, price wise, is pretty close. That's very close. But the employee, the ER copays, and all that go way up. Didn't about theirs as far as how does it work? They come up with it. I was going to put a spreadsheet together, but that's the only way I can.
Well, I did one, but it's cheating straight. I mean, that's the way I do it. I didn't pass it out or nothing.
Oh. I did not go look yet because I knew we wouldn't make a decision on this today. There's no way. There's just too much. Did anybody check? Even though it says, you know, when you hear out of network, you said only Baylor Scott & White, but sometimes their network encompasses other doctors' offices. They're within this. So I just wondered if, you know, to me, one of the most important is, I think, for this community to have Coriel help as, you know, one of the optional providers. I mean,
that's what I
thought. But to me, that's really the biggest, one of the driving factors, because I think so many people use Coriel Health they're loaded with.
Yes, sir, I agree. And I'm sure we still do.
I think that's what we're going to find out.
I can sign out.
I'm there.
Because, like I said, you know, out of network, they have a, you can go on their website. That's what I used to always do. When we were on Baylor Scott & White, you just plug it in, it will give you all the available doctors. I know they dropped Ascension.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they say they are. As long as from the directors of our network.
The director of Coriel or the director of Baylor Scott & White?
The clinic here.
Oh.
Our, you know, she's the director of Coriel Health Clinic, is considered in that part.
Sorry, I'll see what my person said. You talk to Negro?
Yeah.
The 19,498 primary care physicians within 20-mile radius.
Yeah.
Under the Blue Cross. Until Texas.
I think Colbert put on health before that. Yeah.
What's the thing is Blue Cross is pretty much going to have everybody in their network. I mean, they are not a healthcare specific.
Right.
So you're going to have access to most, if not all, of the hospitals, doctors, and providers over in Waco. We're under Baylor Scott and White. You're not going to have access to all of those.
That's what my retirement insurance is, Blue Cross Blue Shield.
So it's
so if I can go to any of them.
What I try to weigh is because they're going to be very, very close in cost as far as premiums.
Yes.
So Baylor Scott and White will have fewer out-of-pocket costs for our employees, but you have a smaller pool of doctors to pull from, access. Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you're going to have a little bit more, you know, as you go along, out-of-pocket costs, but you have a broader range of doctors to go to. And I can't tell you that there's a dollar value to put on either one of those. When we make a decision on this, regardless of what we make, there are going to be employees that are not going to be satisfied with our decision. It's just what it is. But it's a balance of what do we think is in the best interest of our employees, as well as being in the best interest of the taxpayers who are funding, you know, a big portion of this.
Got a novel idea. Just like I said, my first and second pass through, yeah, I had it down to the Baylor Scott and White, Premier, and then the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas Blue Essentials, because they're both
right.
Premium wise very close to our budget of last year. Mm-hmm. Why don't we put together just that, what the differences are, like the difference between a $45 copay and a $30 copay. Make just a little quick, send it out to the employees. Say, what's most important to you? I mean, it's the same price, virtually. So why wouldn't we let them at least have a say-so in it at the end of the day, like you said, Josh? We're going to be tasked with making that decision. But, you know, copays aren't nearly as important to me as they are to a family of four or five.
Which are in the minority, even if you take, you know,
yeah,
employee, spouse, employee, children, employee, if you combine all of those, it's still less than employee. I think we're at 138.
Yes, it's about 50%.
138, I think, is just employee.
Or 128 employee only. And do this in your head. Let's see, 42 and 13 is 55, and 8 is 63. So there's 63 employee, spouse, employee, children, and employee family. So roughly 50%. And out of that, the employee and children is 42. Employee spouse is only 13, which I thought it'd be bigger than that. It's not. You know, that was my only, but it's not that big a deal. Every organizations it got to the point where organizations I were in, you had to sign an affidavit. If your wife had insurance available to her, or if your spouse, I should say, if your spouse has insurance available to them through their work, they're required to take that insurance and not, you know, jump on
the group
insurance. In this case, I don't think we'd eliminate very many.
Okay, so is there anything to consider other than those two?
I don't know. Okay. More curative of just.
I think it's
crazy.
It does.
And TAC wasn't much better. I mean, there's a lot of 70%, you know, a lot of co-insurance. Yeah, you know, with the TAC from what I saw. You get into that co-insurance, then you start to have so many billing problems, and yeah, employees just spend half their life, they'll spend half their time at work trying to
figure out what bill, where this bill,
sort out all the bills. I mean, Baylor Scott & White's bad enough.
Yeah.
They'll hit you with facility fees and breathing fees and
I will say this in defense of Curative. I'm not surprised of what they came back with based off of what our claims were. If we have that same level of payout in claims next year, this court's going to be right back in the same position. I mean, and I don't know what to attribute that to. I don't know whether because it was just an all-inclusive plan that everybody went. But just because you go to the doctor doesn't necessarily mean that there's something, you know, wrong with you. So, I mean, going to the doctor, what I take from it is we have some significant health issues just across the board with, you know, our county employees. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying that that's kind of what it looks like.
I think the only play, I thought a lot about this, and I kind of knew this going into Curative, and I could probably shoot ourselves for not executing a 2-year contract with them. I think their play is try to get your group healthier. And I don't think this is, well, it's not. Did you guys look at the statistics of not only what was done, but despite that? Did you look at the drug statistics? The two largest spend on the drugs that we did last year?
Yeah.
You know where I'm going with this, don't you, Mr. Bell? They were gigantic. They were the GLP-1s. Everybody's running and getting GLP-1s. Not so much based on diabetes anymore. It's just based on one. I mean, it was gigantic between those two. Or I think $500,000 in just those two drugs. So yeah, when you looked at that, you know, statistically, and I think what it was, hey, well, it's no charge, no cost to me. I'll go to the doctor. I'll get some. I'll, you know, do this. And I think their Curative's long play is get you healthy or get the workforce healthy, and then we'll stabilize. And that might work for a private industry, but it doesn't work really good for government.
Well, and too, it kind of depends on where you start out. I mean, you know, I will say that the GLPs, and I'm not sure exactly what I'll, how that plays into, but you know, if that gets people's body fat down, if it gets their weight down, typically they're going to have fewer health issues. But I just don't know that we could absorb $500,000 every year worth of GLP-1 induced weight loss. It's because we've got a lot of employees out there that are not, you know,
Are they saying
that they pay for that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're lying.
Depends on
what it was.
They wouldn't pay for mine.
I'm telling you right now, I can show you three people that work here that have been diagnosed diabetic and asked for GLP-1 and they turned them down. Said they do not pay for those type of medical.
I'm not up on it, but that was the... whatever the two Jardians, right? And what was the other one?
One of them.
Ozempic is for
diabetic. Well, I think Jardians is too.
Yeah.
I think it's just the other guy's brand.
Jardians is a pill.
And
Ozempic is an injection.
Yeah.
I take them both.
Yeah. Yeah, they still denied mine.
Signing it is still fine.
I just remember looking at that and going, wow, that was just, you know, telling that goes from the two.
They had not denied it. They denied the contracts, too.
Here they kept denying it.
Okay.
All right. To pay out
from the doctor saying my A1C was zero.
All right. Before we go around the room and everybody gets to tell their own personal story.
It's an injection.
So other than to do a kind of a one-page comparative analysis between Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas and Baylor Scott & White, is there any action that the court wishes to take on item number 18 today?
I have none.
Okay. But that's the understanding of the court that I would welcome a motion to table this to our next scheduled, our next regular meeting.
So move.
Yeah.
Okay. Move table until our next regular meeting from Commissioner Weddle, a second on that from Commissioner Matthews. And so that everybody's clear, we'll do a one-page comparative analysis on those two plans. And we'll get that distributed, get the feedback. This court has to make a decision our next meeting.
So I was going to ask Judge, I sent an email a while back, but now I can't remember what the deadline was. You want to go and remember? When we had to, because they had to give us a renewal by July
1st. Was there?
Which week they asked. But then I think we have a trigger date in there somewhere.
We do.
Yeah. Look, I can't find it now.
Have you tied that page into something like a Survey Monkey where they can actually give their opinions?
Okay. Hold that thought for a second because I'm. So, Mr. Bell, if you pull that up, because it may warrant that under item number 18, that we...
Page 28, they have until July 1st to give us a renewal rate.
Mm-hmm.
It may warrant that this court, if we are not going to consider curative for the next year, I believe under item number 18, we could take action to give written notice of cancellation to curative. And that should cover our notice of termination, would it not, Mr. Bell?
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't seen the numbers based on the numbers I've been talking about. I think that's
Well, in a nutshell, curative last year, our current total cost, I'm assuming that's what it was, $2,965,464. Our renewal total cost is $4,139,000. So almost, a little over $1 million, increase. I just,
36 point something.
Yeah, that was 39. When they redid their thing, it's 36.6%.
Our admin thing went up $66.
Yeah. It's a shame. I mean, I love them. They were fantastic too.
So with that, we do have a motion and a second on the floor. To table. I would ask that this court consider amending that motion to be authorizing notice of termination of current contract be issued to curative and to table the selection of a level funded medical benefits provider until our next regular meeting.
And we're doing that because we have a deadline.
Yes, we're going to owe them a termination letter regardless.
Right.
So if we go ahead and authorize the issuance of the termination letter, as soon as we go back to the contract and we find out, you know, when it is, I mean, it can give us some latitude. But if it's coming up, you know, here within the next week or two, or if we've got to have it done, you know, prior to, you know, August, or, you know, we can go ahead and give that. Because if we're not going to consider them as part of our screening, there's no reason we can't prepare that letter at this point. That's my thinking on it. Not that.
Yeah. Not less than 60 days prior to the end of then expiring term, like September 30th. So August, September. So prior to August 1st, let's give them an answer.
Yeah, the only other crazy thought I had was, but I just don't think people are going to be that. Those that use the curative, I'm sure, just absolutely loved it, especially if they had, you know, a hospital event or something of that sort, surgery. And the only other crazy thought I thought was, put it out there, say, look, county will pay $888. You know, do the employees want to pay the difference? It would be huge. And I think they'd say, probably most of them would say a resounding no.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, because you're talking about,
what's that? It's $400.
$360. That's a paycheck, by the way. That's not for a year. So, yeah, I just don't see how they would. Yeah. Anybody be that?
Okay, so do you want to include authorization of a termination letter in your motion, or do you just want to stick with it being tabled?
Our next meeting is July 28th. Didn't give a whole lot of time. Just throw that out there.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my only, I mean.
Put you in the gun there, my friend. The judge is going to do it.
It's just going to be a real short letter.
Well, it's not like you can't have the letter already prepared and ready to go. Just want to make sure we're not handcuffing ourselves anywhere for some crazy reason, that we're not seeing something in here that we don't understand. I mean, pretty black and white.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't even look because we went right to the EPO last year. Didn't even look at their. Other than the PPO.
Yeah.
Everything. EPO was the cheapest. Yeah, the gap is just way too far. I don't have a problem amending my proposal to go ahead and send them a cancellation letter. I just don't see us, based on that, getting there.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking that.
Unfortunately, that's what insurance has been. It's become a yo-yo game where you get one year, and then somebody gets hungry, they come in, they want it, and you have to change again the next year. It's just been that way for the last 15 years, everywhere I've worked.
Ms. Newton, you good with the amended? Okay, thank you, ma'am. All right, any other questions or comments from the court? Okay, All those in favor, considering item number 18, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 19 is pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $612,363.73. And I apologize, they're still working through some of their reporting things. I don't know that that summary sheet went out, but I did have them make one up for me while we, after we had started
work. I didn't see it.
And it was not, it was just, they're still working with some very, very new software. It's got some great capabilities, and I think you see that in the level of detail. But they're trying to, they're just working through some things. Nothing, they weren't trying to withhold anything from you, but the bills came out to $612,363.73. Most to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 19? Hearing none. Oh, you bet. You just got that in.
Is Whitlock okay with leaving those payments deals in there and working with Jess to get those reimbursed? Is that what she decided?
I believe that's. I don't know that we've got any other course of action. Okay. Any other questions or discussions on item number 19? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 20, reports. Commissioner Matthews.
Condolences to your family and the law office. Judge, first and foremost.
Thank you.
Next is, I'm trying to rework the deal or communicate with Primo. Primo is a water company that we were absorbed into in a buyout. And we have eight locations that we're providing water to. And their numbers have just skyrocketed from the tub, the tank waters to bottled waters to, and they can't get their billing straight. I've contacted them three times now. They're based at a College Station, but the number they give is Connecticut. So I sent a letter to, I sent a letter to our email to everybody the other day and asked them just to hold off. It's ridiculous. They have tax on some. They charge you for cups you don't get. A delivery fee from one door to another when they're backed up to the same building of 15, 16 bucks. It's just absurd. So I'm trying to handle that right now. Because it comes up to about $600 a month. Absurd. I mean, almost $8,000. So anyway, I'm working through that.
No tax taxpayer dollars spent yet.
I know.
The attorney's office.
I know. I
purchased my own too.
I get mine out of tap.
Yeah.
Not drinking out of the hose anymore. But anyways, the juvenile building, they're in the process of moving in. There's still some fine tuning that has to be done, but you know it's there. I hope they're happy. They're up there putting locks on the doors now. There's a little bit more trim that has to be said after it's done. The electrician has to put up a couple more exit lights to make it legal. And then the software, IT, not software, the IT guys are making their next stuff. They send a team down, I believe. So I guess that's it.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Weddle.
Obviously, I you know what he said, or he said that to you personally. I thought I'd clarify to you guys, you know, Mr. Harper came in and talked about that 30,000-gallon tank, and Monty Sanders and I have been working on this for a couple of months, and Mr. Belt shed some new light on the situation, at least, that we're going to investigate about that there was an easement. The developer put that tank in at, I mean, that wasn't a requirement. We did not require them to do that. They put that in as a good, I guess, a good deed, trying to get some, you know, some good press, which they didn't get any. But somehow it ended up on the back of this lady's lot, and she has since put some kind of a fence around it, you know, and has got no trespassing signs, and she claims it is hers. I did talk to the POA out of Florida. Super folks. I mean, they were very, very helpful. Sent me all kinds of good, you know, information, her contact information. I've got her phone. I've got her email. I've sent her email. I've left her two voicemails. I thought the soft approach would be the best first, you know, just trying to get her to. Because all that we want is we just want the fire departments to have access to that. And we think what happened is during the freeze, probably one of the valves froze. You know, and because right after that, it's just been, you know, inaccessible, if you will. So anyway, I kind of want to fill you guys in, and I understand Harper's frustration and the folks out there, because they've got this 30,000 gallon tank. They since have put in, they're on their own, I think 3,000-5,000s out in their little public park pavilion area. But I'll work with you, Mr. Belt, and we'll get that easement and see if we can, I guess, maybe apply a little more pressure versus trying to just get her to cooperate for the time. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Bashman?
I want to say thoughts and prayers go out to the Miller family on their loved one. They lost a very, very special lady. Talked to the world of her. She had to put up with me through high school. And my thoughts and prayers go out to the Miller family. And this rain is nice. Thank you.
I don't want to open the can of worms. And this isn't a question and answer session. It's just a briefing. Can you give us a little bit of update and insight as to where we are with the chillers at the courthouse?
Yes.
And again, this is not question and answer. There's no rebuttals here. This is...
parts have been ordered, and all the parts are in the one. There is a board that is in back order that I was told, and I didn't want to bring this up to my reports here for 5 months. So I've got dealing with Charlie from Jacobs Kathy. We're coming up with some other options to, if we lose chiller A, then we have no air whatsoever in the courthouse. Because I did tell Charlie, I said, we need to come up with a solution before I make the cover of the newspaper saying they have been shot repeatedly by the ladies at the courthouse because they're hot. So he's going to be leading me back some other options that we have. Maybe bring another air chiller in on an 18-wheeler, that could be, or other options that we can come up with. But he is looking out trying to find that board. And I do not understand why it's so hard.
Judge, I'd like to amend my, this is not an open answer. If it is a PC, we call them PC boards.
Yeah.
I used to have access to 4 or 5 repair facilities. And you just send that. Most of the time, it's a resistor or it's a little capacitor on that board that fry. The whole board is usually not bad. And it's a minimal, I mean, it's usually a minimal cost. They have just hundreds of people that sit there. They take these boards in, put it on a tester, trace the circuit, and you go, oh, okay, that's a little 5-watt transistor. Pull it off, solder a new one on, test it, it works.
And you could talk with him maybe post meeting. Yeah. To
like I said, I used to have I'd have to dig around and try to see if I can.
And then,
but there was okay. 4 or 5
pull down temple.
We have the completion of the roof has been done
on this building.
Yes, on the Main Street Annex is completed. We had rain yesterday. I walked through there, knock on wood, on the tank side and this side. No leaks. So, but it takes 10 days for this thing to cure. So, next week, next week, we'll walk it and look at everything. And write down the leaks, don't talk wood.
Take your shoes off and go up there, basically.
I'll wear your boots on, but I do have some pictures of the product if anybody would like to look at it and see. You know, it looks good. It's like a brand new roof repairs.
All right. Anything else?
I'm sorry.
All right. And I thank you for the update on that. Commissioner Taylor.
Dogs just built a family from law. They don't have anything. I'm good.
Okay. I do want to tell everyone to say thank you for all the gracious outpouring. Thank you just seems a little bit underwhelming. I mean, it doesn't adequately express, you know, just all the good wishes. And to highlight that, I say this, you know, very humbly, my older brother, older sister, my younger sister, they have all become urbanites. They live in the major metropolitan areas. And they just didn't understand the level of intimacy that we have here in Coryell County. You know, I joke about it, about going to HEB is that's not grocery shopping. That's a social event. But when you walk into a rest home and you see somebody you hadn't seen in a decade, but you went to high school with them, and just all the interconnections of what the funeral home does and the local businesses that they resource and they contract with, and it just becomes a rabbit trail or a rabbit hole of just a who's who. And we probably spent more time visiting as a family, talking about family names and who was related to who and kinda, because it all comes together. And they don't get to experience that kind of feeling in those large urban areas. So I rambled on to say thank you for everybody's warm wishes and outpouring. You know, that's an underwhelming thing to say, but also take time to appreciate the relationships that we have with our local businesses, our local vendors, you know, and everything that they do to support not just the north side of the county, but, you know, south side of the county was heavily involved as well. So thank you all for that. We do have one item to consider. In a closed meeting executive session, pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071, the Commissioners Court will conduct a closed meeting to consult with the county attorney regarding pending litigation and a matter subject to attorney-client confidentiality to include, but not limited to, that case of Coryell County versus Purdue Pharma in the 152nd District Court of Harris County. Coming out of that, we will not have anything to consider under item 23. So at this point, action items have been complete. Other than following our executive session, we will come back, we will reconvene so that we can adjourn the meeting. So with that, take 10 minutes. Ten, 225. Let's just call it 225, front conference room. So we are in recess. Thank you.